things that time can never change. My text, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And the songwriter furnishes my introduction. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories fade away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. What is there that time has not changed? Well, nations change. Where are the mighty empires of old? Where are the great governments that in their day seemed so permanent, so secure, so powerful? Societies change, traditions, customs, dress, habits, all of these things change. Friends change, families change, babies are born, they grow up, they marry, they leave home, relatives move away, parents die, we're left alone, and we change. We grow older, and with age, many, many changes come. Nothing physical, nothing material remains the same. Some changes are for the better, and some, regrettably, for the worse. And we're led to ask this question, is there anything that time does not change? Is there anything that time does not alter? And our text gives us the answer. Here's the answer. One thing that time has never and can never change. Jesus Christ. He is the same. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same forever. I have 4 points in this message. The first one is this. Christ himself never changes. He is, he was, he always will be the same. His glory is the same. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, and I want you to read this scripture. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. Our Lord's glory never changes. In the 8th chapter of Proverbs, beginning with verse 22, he is called wisdom. But now this scripture is talking about Christ our Lord. Proverbs 8:22. Listen to it. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet God had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep his ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Christ is wisdom. Christ is wisdom. Now turn to John 1. In the first chapter of John, beginning with verse 1 through verse 5, Christ is called the Word. The Word of God, the wisdom of God and the Word of God. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now John 17, verse 4 and 5, in the 17th chapter of John, verse 4 and verse 5, our Lord speaks of Himself and declares, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, now watch this carefully. Glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Whether in the covenant of old, whether in the creation of the world, whether in the manger at Bethlehem, whether by the seashore of Galilee, whether on the mountains of Judea or in the streets of Jerusalem, on the cross or at the Father's right hand, He is the glory of God. Turn to Philippians 2. In the second chapter of Philippians, verse 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He has no new glory, and He has not lost any glory. He is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His glory is the same. And then back in our text in Hebrews chapter 13, it says in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His glory is the same, but so is His purpose. Not only is Christ in His glory the same, but He is the same in His purpose. Now in Hebrews 7:22, and this is important here, I want you to look at one word, Hebrews 7, verse 22. Hebrews 7:22. I'm saying that Christ is the same not only in His glory, but He's the same in His purpose. In Hebrews 7:22 it says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant, of an everlasting covenant. A surety. And what is a surety? I think I can illustrate that best by asking you to turn to Genesis chapter 43. Christ is the surety of an everlasting covenant, of God's covenant of mercy. Now in Genesis 43, verse 9, hold that just a moment and let me bring you the setting here. There was a great famine down in the land of Israel, down in the land of Jacob. In Egypt, there was corn and wheat and things to eat. Joseph, the son of Jacob, was in command in Egypt. You know how he got there. God in His providence and God in His purpose led him there. But Jacob, his father, did not know Joseph was there. So Jacob sent his 10 sons. He had 12. Joseph was his son, Benjamin, but Joseph he thought was dead. Benjamin was the youngest son, and he kept him at home and protected him because he was one of his favorite sons. And he sent these 10 boys to Egypt to get food. They went up there, and Joseph gave them the food, but he did not reveal himself to them. These brothers had sold him into slavery many years before, but he did not reveal himself to them at this time. But he wanted to see his younger brother. So he said to the 10 brothers, he said, when you come back for grain and corn and wheat, bring your younger brother Benjamin with you. They had told him they had a younger brother at home. He inquired about their father and their brother and so forth. And he said, well, now don't come back unless you bring this younger brother. So they left, went back to Israel, and they told Jacob what this king in Egypt had said. They didn't know it was Joseph. They told the father that the king in Egypt said that he would sell them more grain and corn and wheat and food if they'd bring their younger brother with them. And Jacob said, no, not so. He cannot go. Joseph is dead and Simeon is not. Would you take Benjamin from me? Why, it would kill me if something happened to Benjamin. Well, the weeks passed and the months passed and the grain and the corn were gone. The brethren came back to the father and they said, we've got to go to Egypt to get corn. He said, well, go. They said, we can't go without Benjamin. We've got to take Benjamin with us. And the father said, well, you can't take him. And Judah, one of the boys, Judah, and this is the tribe through which Christ our Lord came, the tribe of Judah. Judah stepped forth, verse 8, Genesis 43. Now listen to it. And Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little one. Now watch this next verse. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shall you require him. This is a surety. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. Judah says, Father, you commit Benjamin to me. I'll take him to Israel, and I'll bring him back, and I will be totally and completely responsible. Nobody else. You'll not blame these brothers. You'll not blame yourself. You'll not blame the king of Egypt. You blame me. If anything happens to him, if I don't bring him home, you blame me. Here in Hebrews 7:22, Christ is our surety. Christ is our guarantor. Into Christ's hands, every one of God's elect, every one of God's people have been given into the hands of Christ. And his purpose is to redeem them. His purpose is to buy them back from the law of God, from the justice of God. And Hebrews 8, verse 6 says this, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. He is the mediator. He is the advocate, which was established upon better purposes and promises. I have loved thee, Christ said, with an everlasting love. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. In his purposes, he never changes. From the covenant of old, from the covenant of mercy, from the covenant of grace, Christ is our surety. And into his hands we have been committed. And he says, Father, I will bring them home. Now the third thing, his offices are the same. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same in his offices. What are the offices of Christ? The scriptural offices of Christ are prophet, priest, and king. He is the prophet still. Moses wrote of him being a prophet. Moses said, God will raise up from among you that prophet. Him you shall hear. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Now men may try to set aside the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophet. They may try to set him aside with science, so-called, or with human philosophy, or with religious tradition, but the sheep still hear his voice. They still follow him, and a stranger they will not follow. His word is precious to their ears and to their hearts. His word is still to them as sure and as sound and as precious as it was when it was spoken 2,000 years ago. He is our prophet. And he is our priest. Men may ignore the cross. They may try to ignore the blood. They may sneer at the sacrifice of Calvary, but to his own, his blood is still the precious word. It is the precious promises. It is the precious blood. It is the precious word. And the scripture says, unto you that believe, he is precious. In Hebrews chapter 8, it also says that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then he is the king, supreme in the universe, supreme in the world, and supreme in the church. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen race, chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Jesus Christ, in his glory, in his purposes, in his offices, in his love, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the second place, his doctrines never change. Look back at the text, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now look at verse 9. Be not carried about with different and strange doctrines. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. The grace of God. The grace of Christ our Lord. The grace of the Holy Spirit. It is a good thing that the heart be established with God's gospel of grace. Not with meats, either taking them or doing without them. Not with certain seasons and feast days and holy days and traditions and customs, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. It's never profited anybody. People that abstain from certain meats and certain doing certain things on certain days in order to make themselves acceptable with God or more religious, it hasn't profited them in any way. Now, my friends, from the connection here, it is evident that the doctrine which we're talking about refers to the teachings of Christ. Now look at the text and in the next verse. Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same in his glory. He's the same in his offices. He's the same in his purpose. Yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same in his doctrine. Be not carried away with strange doctrines. Let your heart be established in the doctrine of Christ, in the doctrine of grace. Grace is Christ. Let your heart be established in his doctrine. Now, this is where men make a serious mistake. I hope you'll listen carefully to me right now. I've thought about this a great deal, and I'm sure this is true. This is where men make a serious mistake. Now, medicine and the sciences change. And they develop according to new light and new methods. Medicine, the science of medicine or the art of medicine, call it what you will, it does change. It develops. And the science of mechanics, farming. Men are so much better farmers than they used to be because they've got more knowledge about farming. Architecture, mining, building, even the field of education. All of these things change. All of them develop according to new understanding and new light. But not theology. Theology cannot. It does not change. It does not change. It cannot change. Now, we may grow in the knowledge of theology. We may learn more about Christ. We may learn more about his love and his word and his ways and his will. But Jesus Christ is the perfect revelation of God. He that has seen me, Christ said, hath seen the Father. So theology cannot develop for the better. In previous days, God spoke to the people by the prophets. In these last days, he said, he has spoken to us by his Son. His Son is God's ultimatum. His Son is God's full revelation. His Son is God's perfect revelation. And you can learn no more about God than Christ reveals. And if you know Christ, you may grow in the grace of Christ and grow in the knowledge of Christ, but nothing can be added to Christ. Turn to, in fact, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, God says this, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation 22:18. If any man shall add to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Yes, sir, our sciences and mechanics and things of that nature can improve as we receive more light and more understanding. But my friends, theology never changes. It's the same because Christ is the same. And Christ is the full revelation of God. And Christ is the perfect revelation of God. And Christ is God's ultimatum. There's no more to be said. If you would learn about God, learn about Christ. If you would see God, see Christ. If you would worship God, worship Christ, because he is the perfect revelation of God. Do not add to him. Do not take away from him. He is God's perfect revelation. And then the salvation of Christ is the same in all ages. The scripture says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. The scripture says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Christ Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Christ Jesus. And then in Galatians chapter 1, listen to what Paul said. In Galatians 1:8, Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached, let him be accursed. This is 1900 years ago. Though we, or if it be an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, any other theology, any other doctrine to you, let him be accursed. What is this doctrine? What is this doctrine, Paul? I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What is this doctrine, Paul? We preach Christ and him crucified. What is this doctrine, Paul? He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ is the same in his glory. Christ is the same in his purpose. Christ is the same in his office. Christ is the same in his doctrine. He's the full revelation of God. He's the perfect revelation of God. He is the ultimatum of the Father. And the salvation of Christ is the same in all ages. Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. Moses wrote of me. And then the gospel of redemption has the same effect upon men. What does the gospel of redemption do? What did it do for the apostles? What did it do for Luther, Zwingli, Owen, Whitfield, Spurgeon? It breaks the heart and makes the sinner whole. It wounds the sinner and heals him. It slays the sinner and gives him life. It hurls the sinner down and humbles him and lifts him up in joy. It brings the sinner to love Christ, to love his word, to love his law. It makes the sinner a new creature in Christ Jesus. It gives the sinner hope of eternal life and the grace of the Holy Spirit to live for God's glory. The results of the gospel of Jesus Christ flowing from the same Redeemer will have the same effect upon all whom it blesses. Back to our text again one more time. Jesus Christ is the same in his glory, in his person, in his purpose, in his office. Jesus Christ the same in his doctrine. Salvation is the same. And then Jesus Christ the same in his way of working. Look at verse 17.
Obey them that have the rule over you, them that are your spiritual guides. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. What's he saying here? Back 1900 years ago in the days of Paul, our Lord saved sinners by the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you look down through church history, you'll find that whenever there's been a revival, whenever there's been conversion of sinners, it has always been linked with what? With the preaching of the gospel. With the faithful ministering of the gospel. Now, men aren't going to be saved by social reform. Men aren't going to be saved by priests in long, special clothing. Men aren't going to be saved by music. Men aren't going to be saved by gospel movies and gospel plays and gospel so-called entertainment, but by the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to save them that believe. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Our Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I know in this day that we're getting weary of the divine plan. It's obvious to me. Pastors and church leaders have called in every known plan to build churches and boost attendance and increase offerings. But God Almighty has one way of saving sinners, and that is by the death of His Son and the preaching of that message. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Holy Spirit uses one message. That's the message of Christ. And He uses it by the message or voice of one of His called ministers. In closing, Christ Jesus the same in His glory, in His purpose, in His person. Christ Jesus the same in His doctrine, in His way of reaching sinners with the gospel. But may I be able to say, and may you be able to say this morning, Christ Jesus is the same to me. He is my only Savior. I leaned upon Him in faith at the beginning. I lean upon Him now. He is my only Savior. He is my only hope. I have not the faintest hope of the forgiveness of sins. I have not the faintest hope of acceptance with the Father. I have not the faintest hope of communion and fellowship with the living God. I have not the faintest hope of eternal life. I have not the faintest hope of eternal glory outside of Jesus Christ. He is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. I am able to say with the apostle, I'm complete in Him. Jesus Christ is my highest joy. Oh, Paul said that I might know Him. He summed up all his religious accomplishments, his honors, his glory, his fame, his faithfulness. He said, I count these but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, oh, that I might know Him. David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. And Paul wrote in Philippians that I may glorify Him, whether in my life or in my death. He is my highest joy. And then He is my expectation. Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. To depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Yes, my only Savior, my only hope, my only wisdom, my only joy, and my only way to the Father. He is the same.
He is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and he is the same forever. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this sure, steadfast foundation. Change and decay all around me I see. Nothing can be